Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 176, part 1, Whatever Happened to the Will of God for Now? Today is Friday, December 3rd, 2010. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from spirited North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's Club is the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota and is located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. So if you need food and you live anywhere in the state of Minnesota, and you're living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older or disabled with proof, call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. That's all there is to it. Just simply call us, register, and you'll be able to come in the next day to pick up groceries and come in once a month after that. You can also visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org where you can make a tax-deductible donation. You'll see that up at the top of the homepage. You're also going to find interactive links to Pastor Paul's blog, Flickr, the podcast, LifeVantage, YouTube, and Twitter. So be sure to check out PastorPaul.org and connect to the online community. You can also call our new comment line. Be sure to do that. The new line is, if you're out of state, 1-877-489-0922. Local, 612-208-0918. So be sure to call the comment line. You can ask a question, make a suggestion, or give a testimony at the blog. We'll probably post those comments throughout the week at Pastor Paul's blog. So be sure to give us a call. At Pastor Paul's blog, you're going to find scripture links that are within Pastor Paul's messages. So be sure to check those links out after you listen to Pastor Paul's messages. This month, the month of December, here is the lineup. Whatever happened to the will of God for now, be my witnesses, tried faith, hypocrisy, and the spiritual flood is coming. Those are the five messages for the month of December, starting with Friday, December 3rd. Be sure to listen to both parts. Part 1 is on Friday. Part 2 is on Sunday. So you can listen to both parts of the same message. The conclusion is on Sunday. Have a great month of December. Happy Hanukkah. Merry Christmas. God bless you. And we'll see you back here twice weekly for Pastor Paul's podcast.
Okay, let's enter in then into James 4, 13 through 17. And it says like this. Go to now. It doesn't say stop. It doesn't say go into the future. It doesn't say recede into the past. It says, go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city and continue there a year. They're already into the next year already. And buy and sell and get gain. And they've already set themselves up. We'll buy, we'll sell, we'll get gain. And he says, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will. Now that is forgotten in the house of God right now. Listen. For if the Lord will. Everyone seems to know the will of God, not only for their own lives, but for everybody else's life. This is the will of God. It is the will of God to get you out of the wheelchair. It is the will of God. I mean, there's a whole lot of things that enter into this. Are you hearing this? And we pre-conclude what the will of God is without even consulting with Him. And we destroy many people's faith because we say this is the way it is, A, B, C, and so on like that. But say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boasting. Oh, they're boasting. Well, tomorrow we'll go to such and such a city, we'll set up shop, and then we'll make $1 million, and then we might come back, and so on like that. Then we'll just sit down, and they all start boasting and get all pumped up over at the Pannekoeken or someplace over there. A lot of Christianity goes over to the Pannekoeken, sits over there and eats donuts or flapjacks at midnight and makes decisions about what God is going to do in their life. All such rejoicing is evil. Now, to come in here and do this work down here on the north side, you have to go to the now, because it's right now ministry. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And I read that, and as I talked to my friend, I said, you know something, men haven't changed a whole lot. We will still find people saying that they know what they're going to do all day today. Now, that's all right to make plans, because the Bible says make plans. God says make plans, and I'll establish them. I mean, do you allow your children to tell you what they are going to do? They get up in the morning, and they're 2 years old, and, well, today I'm not going to school. And I'm not going to do this, and I'm not going to do that. And furthermore, and in closing, and they tell you everything they're going to do? No, you're going to chastise that child with a red bottom. Are you hearing this? And it's the same way when we approach God and we know exactly what we're going to do for that whole day. We pre-conclude and we have it all. Well, now, God, this is what I'm going to do today. Now, see what you think of this. I'm going to do it anyway, but I mean, just see what you think of it. I want your confirmation on the thing. They already know, they think they know what the will of God is, and they say, now, I want you to agree with this. Or they say what they will accomplish even some people in a year. Some even map out their whole future, and their sign's going to come down on these banks. Closed. Well, they can't do that. There's a Federal Reserve. There's all kinds of laws. They'll change the laws. They'll put on their clothes, and that's it. We change the rules. Well, you can't do that. We did it. And the stock market, that's going to go down, and this is going to happen. And well, the Bible says so. But we still go on saying, well, I know exactly what's going to happen and so on from experiences and so on. So, God, I have that knowledge that you've forgiven me, and so I can just go ahead and I'll consult with you, and you can give me confirmation and everything, but give me confirmation so I can go ahead and satisfy these people. And so, like I said Friday night, everybody is an expert. Knowing the will of God is like when we come into modern art, is it? When they came into modern art, that's what you have. It's a bunch of nothing. They get a monkey and he wads some paint up, throws it on a mat, and then a human being slides through it and makes all kinds of waves. And that's modern art, and they sell it for $1 million. That's the way Christianity is right now. Everybody is an expert. Everybody is a prophet of God. Everybody's laying their hands on, you are this, and you are this, and you are... And by the time people come into the church, they can't receive one single solitary thing. Their heads are so big they can hardly get in sometimes. Say amen, somebody. And God says, be careful when you think you know something, know nothing at all. I don't know a darn thing. Say amen. That's how you're going to learn what the will of God is. By not knowing anything. Well, I know this. Everybody seems to know everything. And they seem to know what the will of God is now in Christianity. Do you really know what the will of God is? No, you don't if you don't go to the now. Don't you see that? They don't realize it at all. We are like the men of the past, that's for sure. We haven't changed one single solitary, not one iota have we changed. Human nature hasn't changed one bit. And only when death comes to a healthy, laughing, energetic person do we think in the now. Young man had been helping us here. James was his name. And oh, he was such a beautiful young guy. And he'd come down and he'd do this and he'd do that. And he was very quiet and he could take instruction and he could do all kinds of things without murmuring or grumbling or complaining. He didn't have that rebel spirit. He wasn't always finding fault. And he was right in the now, this young guy. And so he got into a car with a friend, and the friend didn't tell him, but the car was stolen, and they got the car going, and they drove down the street. And they hit a tree, and they both were killed. Well, the point was, it brought people back to saying, well, hey, life is short. Here is an energetic, healthy, laughing person that dies. 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, no, 2 weeks ago, I'm up here. A car pulls out. I'm going 35 miles an hour. I hit him. Bam! Why wasn't I taken away? My head is split open. My knees crumble. They go through the dash. Broke the dash out. And it brought me to realize that I have got to seek the Lord in the now. The time is short. And people say, you know what? I'm dissatisfied with now. You know why we're dissatisfied with now? Because we're looking towards the future and we can't even see anything in the now. Now is the time for salvation. And the Bible says now faith is. And so right now you have to make a decision on what you're going to do with the Lord. What's going to happen in your life. And it might just freak you out what God is going to have you to do. Say amen, somebody. But they're dissatisfied, and people are dissatisfied all over, and they're grumbling now. They're going for the light fantastic. They go to every kind of teaching that ever was, and they'll fly to Israel 14 times, and they'll go all over because they're dissatisfied with right now. They go on a vacation, and they already start planning for the next vacation, and the whole year gets lost in planning of the next vacation. And oh, when I retire, and oh, when I get a boyfriend, and oh, when this mate comes back, and all this, and all that, and all mine. They never live in the right now. And there, you know, we can be so sick of this and that now. But things will be better on in the future. Will they? I mean, if a discontented person goes to California, a discontented person's going to be in California. That's why there's a whole lot of malcontent in California. You know, you ever been there? I mean, my folks all live out there. It seems like everybody that's in California is from someplace else. Yeah, everybody. Where are you from? Oh, I'm from South Dakota. Where are you from? Oh, I'm from here. And very rarely will you find a native. Will you? And they're from all over the place, malcontents. And it seems like people are moving all over. They're malcontent. They're not content. They're grumbling. And they're always saying, we always say like this, well, tomorrow it'll be different. Well, I'll tell you, Satan's end is real close right now. And it says in the end, many seducing spirits will be loosed from the pit. Right now, people are being seduced into sleepiness and drowsiness and sluggardism and all these things. And why is that? Because they're not getting into the now of the thing. War clouds are forming. And we're planning trips to a seminar someplace on how to have more faith. You better be digging yourself a foxhole. Hey, get realistic about the thing. You know what I'm talking about? Terrorist groups are all over. Huh? Well, that stopped some of the groups from going off for the 15th time to look in the tomb that's empty, and Jesus says, why do you come in here looking for me? I'm God! Reactors are mishapping all over the place. Some that you don't even know about. Disease and all kinds of diseases and new strains of diseases are popping up. Oh, it was about 13 years ago I ministered. Watch, I says, now they think they got a hold on these drugs and everything will be brand new kinds of drugs, brand new kinds of diseases. And here we are right now, and we're not facing this. Well, so now with this in view, I'm going to talk on how we ought to behave in regard to the future. And attempt somehow to draw some lessons from our correction and instruction from James, I said, 4:13 through 17. And so let's look at five things today. The counting on the future is folly. Listen to that. Now, how many have learned somewhere in their life that the counting on the future is folly? I have. You counting on a future? You better count on Jesus Christ and don't count on a future, because the future is not yours to count on. Number two, we shall observe what I hope is clear enough to us all, that the ignorance of the future is a matter of fact. You do not know what's going to happen. Now, I'm driving down. I just mind my own business, whistling, singing a song, driving down the road up here. Wham! When I put my hands over my face and I said, this is incredible. God, what happened? And the guy comes up to the window. He says, are you in shock? I says, of course. And the police officer comes and he gets out of his car with a toothpick in his mouth and spaghetti all over his tummy. And he says, you claim to be hurt. I said, I ain't claiming nothing. I am hurt. Can't you see? And I start to wheel a car over there, and a bunch of guys are laughing over on the curb, and I says, this is demoned activity. And I started, nobody would help me, so I started to push with all these, my knees are swelling up, my head is bleeding, and I'm all out there, and nobody's going to give a hand, so I start to push my car. I says, I got to do something right now. These people are just, they're having a field day over. This is some kind of a celebration going on here. I'm not part of it. So I start pushing my car over there, and some gal with a sack on her head looks like, get your car, don't you put your car, get your car, get your car. And I looked up at the window and I said, shut up. Josh, she said, what'd you say? I said, shut up. I said, can't you see I'm hurt? Get back in that house and shut up. I surprised myself. I came out of my shock. I gave my shock to her and she receded back into the house. I brought her to the now. This is the way it is. I'm hurt, officer. This is the way it is. Get your head back in that window up there. But getting on, number three, recognition of God in the future is wisdom. Was God in that thing? Oh, yeah. God was in it because I got a message out of it, and it brought me to the reality that I started stop living in a past situation, stop looking towards a future situation, and get your eyes on the road for right now. How about putting your eyes on the road for right now? So easy to get off, isn't it? Number four, we're going to look at all boasting of the future is sin. And I think there's one more thing we'll have to look at. Our final thought will have to be then that the using of the present is a duty. You have a duty. Now, don't get involved with somebody else. Just get your mind on yourself. Corey, and because you're here, I'm just using you. Okay, Corey, it's what you're going to do with right now. Not with somebody else, what they're doing right now, but what you're going to, you have a duty to the present. And you have, Marty, a duty to the present. Janine, a duty to the present. Carol, a duty to the present. It doesn't have anything to do with what's going on in our little lives and so on. Nothing. It's while you treat the present. Well, I'm going to straighten out down the line. God's going to help me and so on. But what are you doing in the present? Don't put your mind on anybody else and disregard me. Don't get melancholy over Pastor Paul. Hey, I'm asking you today, what are you going to do right now? Now, I'll leave you with that question. And a message? That's over. No. But that's the way it is, isn't it? What are you going to do with the present? We're so much into everybody else's life, we don't live our own life in the present. What are we going to do? What are you going to do in this present evil age? Well, I don't know. I don't like this and I don't like that. And grumble. Is that what you're going to do with the present? No, I'm just going to wait for things to change. You're going to wait for things to change? Do you ever wait for something to change? You just sit for wait for... Are you going to wait... Are you going to wait on Russians to change? Are you going to wait on government agencies to change or insurance companies? Are you going to wait on your kids to change? I mean, what does that mean? That is not taking what you should. You're supposed to take this present as a duty. You have a duty to the present. You don't have a duty to the future. In the future, you are going to see great things from me. How about now? Would you pick up a mop and mop your way out of here? I used to have a guy that would come in when we were reconstructing this church. It was a massive undertaking. And I mean, we had an exodus of 400 people the first week. I mean, it was just a massive undertaking. Walls were crumbling. Things were all over. And one guy would come in, and he wanted to show everybody this mess. And so he'd bring, just look at this. Look at Pastor Paul. He's taking on quite a job. I wonder what's going to happen in the future. And every time he'd come in, he'd see something more done and said, I'd be up on top here painting all this gold up in there. Now, I'm laying on my back praying for, oh God, bring some people now. Oh God, my arms are falling off. Now, God help. Huh? And they were in the future. They were wondering how, and reconstructing all the windows and getting the seats and putting the stage in and just organizing this whole thing and all, and then starting the mission and all that. And see, if people aren't in this mission, they don't understand what you're talking about. Because they're busy living in a future situation. But we are faced with reality down here, and we're faced with the right now, and people won't stop eating. They just, their mouths are just, nom, 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 and they keep eating. Pastor Paul, here they come again, and they want to eat again. Naturally, don't you? Huh? Let's be realistic about this. Here they come, right now, they want to be fed. What? Now. Do your kids want to be fed now? I want to eat. Just go sit down. It'll be ready in a little while. I told you, just sit down. It's only a few minutes. But I'm hungry, huh? Now, you're faced with that kind of thing down here. You're faced with that in your life. What are you going to do right now? Okay, now here you are, and you want to give your wife a kiss. Not now! Later on, I got a headache. Get away! Well, you're giving me a pain in the neck, so now we're both sick. No, see, it's right now, isn't it? No, I've learned that. Someone comes and says, Pastor Paul, and they're pulling on my pants. Can you come? I said, well, can you wait a minute? No, can you come right now? I say, oh, okay. Get over there, it's nonsense. Oh, great, okay. Huh? What is important to them? It was important that you came right now. And I'm seeing changed lives down here. If you stand in, we're seeing lives. When I came in here 7 years ago, some of the kids were 2 years old. Now they're 9 years old. Some of the kids were 9 years old. Now they're 16 years old. And you see those miracles as you persevere in the now, and you go through people problems with people every day and every day and every day, and it's right now and right now and right now and right now, and you've got to be on top of it right now. That's what I'm talking about today. And so to start out with, let me give you a few words which will convince, I hope, that you that are counting on the future is folly. And the apostle says, go to the now. He meant you are acting absurdly. See how ridiculous he's saying your conduct is. Go to the now. Ye say that today or tomorrow you will do such and such a thing. It sounds like a little bit of sarcasm in his voice here. Oh, you say that you're going to do this and that, do you? And yeah, that's ridiculous conduct, I would say. But the fact is that the frail, feeble man so proudly ordering his life is forgetting all about God. Do you order your own life? Do you allow somebody else to order your own life? See, the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. God is dealing with each individual, and he's dealing with each individual right now. Are you hearing this? But anyway, to James, it seems preposterous that this man would be saying, that these people would be saying, that we'll go such and such a place. Are you hearing this? Isn't that a point to argue? He says, go to the now. Look at your confession right now. Look at your face right now, man. Do you think you can handle anything in the future looking like you are right now? Do you think that somebody's going to trust you with an important job looking like you look right now? Are you convincing anybody that you're able to do anything looking like you look right now? Your face is dragging on the floor. Your arms are hanging down. You got feeble knees. What are you ever going to do? Who's going to trust you? You got to be a now person. You got to be on top of things. Who's ever going to trust you? Now I see people are walking in. Can you help me today? No, not today. Can't help you today, Pastor Paul, but we'll see about tomorrow. Give me a call. Well, I say, forget it. Until I see some life in you, I'm not going to depend on you for tomorrow, because see, today you're dragging it. Is there ever going to be any change in people if they can't change right now? Don't you tell kids, they say, okay, get in there and do your room, and they've got their hands like this and they're watching TV. And they keep watching TV, and they got their hands on their arms and their feet. You know, they're like, let me do it so that you understand what I'm talking about. See, why go through all that? And they're like this, see, and they're watching TV, huh? And they're like this, and they're watching TV. And pretty soon you look at them, and you come back out of the kitchen, and you're wiping your hands on your apron. You say, I said no! Now they're moving. Are they moving? I had a young man come in, and oh, he's so beautiful because he's rebellious. He's mean. He's rebellious. I thought, boy, there's life in this guy. Ooh, he's 25, but he's mean and rebellious. I see my old self in him. Oh, if we can strap it. Hi, haven't been in 4 days. He's doing court referral time. Hi, I said, where you been? Oh, I had to do this, and I had to do that, and I had to go over here, and I had to go down here, and I had to go up there. Oh, I says, is that right? Are you ready to go to work now after all this? I mean, you've wasted 10 minutes on all your excuses. You're ready to go. I wasn't easy on him. And so I says, no, young man, I says, you cannot bring your bicycle in here. You got to chain it to the, I'm not going to bring it. I want to bring it in here. He got all excited. I says, no. I says, you can't. He says, but it might rain on it. And now we're talking 25 years old. And so I think he came over to your house. And he didn't come down here, but he left. And he went over and he knocks on the door. Look, I'm going fishing. What do you think about that? Now, when he comes back in again, and he comes over to me. Now, I'm not precluding what I'm going to say here, but I'm saying something like this. I'm going to say, are you all done fishing? Yeah? Well, go fishing another day and think about what you're doing with your life. Take another day off. Go sit on a stump someplace, look in the river, and think it over. See? Now, what do you think about that? See, I says, you need someone like me to tell you. Because nobody has taken the time to tell you anything, don't you know? Nobody has taken the time to tell you that you got to get busy right now. Would you treat everybody like that? No, some people you don't have to treat like that. Some people are busy and they want to be busy right now. What can I do right now? Now, don't completely stop when I say get busy right now. Keep going in the now. I didn't say stop. I said get going in the now. Get going in your mind in the now. Can you get going today in your mind in the now? Right now. I mean, it's so hard for us to get our minds going in the now. Isn't it? Or maybe you're sitting at home now. I'm just using you. But maybe you're sitting at home now. But no. See, if you're not all here, you're not all there. You gotta be all here now. It's just like giving my life to this work. Do I give part of my life to this work? 40%, 41, 50, 90, 90, you give your all. And when you give your life to a work, you're going to be misunderstood in the house of your friends. Is that right? When you give your all to your work and your real estate, you know what's going to happen? It's going to be a return coming back. If nothing else, you're going to have satisfaction that you've done everything that you could have done. See, you need that personal satisfaction. You need it. People need work. They need an anchor. They need somebody to tell them to get busy right now. Oh, how many people out here that are just wandering around, no jobs? And how many of them don't want jobs? You can give them the best job there ever was. Here's a job. Sit down. $4 an hour. All you have to do is just sit. Well, I got something to do. What do they do? Go home and sit down for nothing. Yeah, they'll go home and sit down for nothing. I'm willing to give them $10 an hour to come down here and sit, but no. I'll choose where I'm going to sit. Does that sound preposterous to you? No, it's reality. That's the way it is. That's the rebellion in people. How do you break that? By your very dedication and by your life and by doing things right now. Pastor Paul, we just got a load of potatoes in. Can you take them? It's 44,000 pounds and they're loose. Can you take them? Bring them over right now. And we got up to 600,000 pounds of potatoes in 10 days. They had so many potatoes down here, the people were walking around with lumps all over their bodies. Do you see, it's only the people that want to grab a hold of it right now that's going to cause anything to happen. And so let us look at the form of this folly, and let us notice also that it was these people that they said like this when they were counting on the future. They said, "We will go." And then they said something else, "We will continue." And then they said, "We will buy." And then they said, "We will sell." And then they said, "We will gain." And I thought, how selfish, how foolish man is to think that he can do as he likes. We will go, we will continue, we will buy, we will sell, we will gain. How do you know that? You might have a car accident. You might have a reversal in finances. God might have to turn you around some other way. But isn't it foolish that man thinks he can do exactly as he pleases and that everything will turn out as he desires? See, a lot of my decisions are based on this mission down here. I always have to consult my mission. Will it interfere with the mission? Let's go here. And a person says, close down your church and we're going to take you to some meetings. And you'll grow in these meetings and take your whole congregation and close down the mission. You know people do that? No, you have to say, Lord, is it your will that I close down the mission? To satisfy someone? And then go over and buy for about, you know, $400 tapes on how to heal people? Come on. Tum-de-dum-de-doo. That's all I got to say about it. Tum-de-dum-de-doo. Who told you to go over there? Who told you to go to all this kind of thing? There are people waiting for you right now. Pastor Paul, we were here at 10 o'clock. We've been standing here since 10 o'clock. We've been here 3 days. Well, I was at a seminar. Boy, did I learn a lot. And God says, I learned a lot about you too, Paul. I learned that you did not deal with reality. I learned that you didn't, I commanded you to do a job. Paul, I didn't tell you to go out and start claiming for tomorrow. Stop claiming for tomorrow. And hear what I command you to do. Are you hearing this? People, we're coming into an all-out war. Please prepare to go and to go to now. How do you go to now? Well, you go to now. Hey, here's now. And you come in here and, you know, the Lord put something in your mind. And I looked in here the other day and it was dirty in here. And you go to the now. You go to the now. Oh, my God. Go to the now. Huh? Now. Okay. This people came in, God brought them in, and they said, well, what are you going to do? I said, well, right now, I'm going to put you up there cleaning the sanctuary. Oh. Well, that's what you're going to be doing right now. So they had to go to the now. Well, where do we start? You start right here right now. You start sweeping this floor. Da, da, dee, dee, dee. This is now. You understand? This is now. Da, 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 dee, do, dee, da, da. Now, this isn't too, hey, this isn't too spiritual, but my God, it's right now. The floor is dirty. Do the floor. Do it right now. Why is the floor dirty, Paul? I was at the seminar. Hey! God! Hey, isn't that spiritual? Oh, hey, hey! In the end, it says in Jeremiah, you will all be taught by the Holy Ghost. Because you see, we botched it. Everybody's teaching everybody. And God says, no, you're not going to teach anymore. I'll teach them by my Holy Ghost, saying, thus saith the Lord, and I'll show them what to do in the day of my power. Why? We botched it. Everybody is an expert. There, I'm glad I got that done. Did it right now. Go ahead. Go ahead. Is it not so, you're listening on the radio, that your life is so self-governed? Is there not one greater than yourself? Isn't there someone just a little greater than what you are? Oh, radio audience, isn't there someone out there? And I say this, if you do not know this, you have not yet learned the first letter of the alphabet of wisdom. We must allow God to teach us that everything is not at our disposal. One person come in, he said, hey, over here, wait on me. And you politely turn around. I mean, you got 300 people. Oh, I'll be right with you. See, there's 299 people to wait on, and then we're going to get to you. Don't we want everything at our disposal? Huh? We want it right now? How about doing things right now? Is that a vulgar word? Do? Now? That is to kids. Get in your room and clean it right now. See, you're talking just like God does. Do it now. But when we get older, we don't want nobody telling us to do something right now. How dare you? Impudent pup. Huh? Oh, God, that's a vulgar word to people. Can you help me right now? It puts fear in them. Oh, how am I going to get out of this? Oh, I got the wrong clothes on. I used to keep coveralls down here when people come in. I says, I got your size, and I go get them. Put these on. Yeah, but I got my good shoes on. Here's a couple of sacks. Put these on your feet, and I put rubber bands around them. Does this sound crazy to you? See, what I'm trying to do is to tell people they got to start working with it right now. And notice this, that while these people, they thought everything was at their disposal, they used everything on worldly objects and listened to what they determined with each other. They did not determine with each other, we will, didn't they determine this? We will do this today, we will do that today, and tomorrow we'll go back and we'll have all this money and so on and so on and so on and so on and so on. And they were looking to the future. My God, I don't ever want to be a man that looks into the future. I don't want to be one of those people that's caught up looking in the future because it never works. I count on money to come in. I say, Lord, I got this bill and I got that bill. And someone says, you know what? I'm going to go out and you can count on it. There's going to be that money in here. I'm going to go out and raise it for you. You count on that? I have learned not to count on that. And it hasn't changed. They say, we will buy and then we will carry our goods to another market at a little distance. And then they said, we will sell it at a profit and we will get gain. Their first and their last thoughts were of themselves, and their one and only idea was to get enough to make them feel rich and increased in goods. And that's the way it is today. Everybody's looking to feel rich and increased in goods, thinking about tomorrow. I started thinking about, now I have my bills paid, 20-some thousand dollars worth of bills for 1 month. Now, oh, if I can only get enough money to pay these bills for the next month, Then I won't have to worry about it. Have you ever done that? How many have done that? Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow, tomorrow, it'll only bring you sorrow. Tomorrow may not come. Don't worry about it. Look at this little person that's sitting down here in a mission right now. My God, he hasn't got proper shoes on. He can't hardly even talk straight. He's all dirty. His mother won't even feed him. He's reaching up on top of the table and he's dumping the food on top of his little head. Oh my God, how about right now? And I asked the woman, I said, woman, look, this little guy, he can't feed himself. Oh yes, he's been feeding himself for a long time. A long time, I says, he's only 15 months old. My God, woman, look at him right now. And he's reaching way up here. Can you imagine yourself sitting at a table that's way up here and you're in a chair and you're trying to eat and you're trying to bring this food down to your face? He had his eyes full, he had his ears full, and not one speck was going in his mouth. I said, honey, will you look at him, please? Turn your face. Look at him right now. She got up. She got angry. She went into the room to do some shopping over in the clothing room. And I started feeding this little kid. And this little kid was eating so much. His cheeks looked like a little chipmunk. And I thought, I better slow down because this kid wants to eat, and he wants to eat right now. Oh, see, everything isn't to do something to get honor or to enjoy pleasure. Are you hearing this? Are you hearing it? All these men, getting back to the message, all they did, they spoke of doing was in their own strength. We will, we will. They were self-contained. They were self-made. And hey, we've made it our own way. We're self-sufficient. We're self-confident. So many people like that today. So many people say, I've made it. I don't want to hear about these poor people down there. Don't you tell me about it. And they say, I'm going to continue on. Next, I've got to say this in this message. It's folly. To build hope on that which never comes. How unwise, I thought, to go ahead and to count your chickens before you got them. To dream up the future. What madness to risk everything on the unsubstantial future. So we